Good morning or good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tony Lora, and I hope you are enjoying the conference and are super excited about our recent announcements. On this session, Debra and Thomas from the Cosmos DB product team will go deeper into some of the new announced features that make Cosmos DB the best database to build scalable and secure applications. Over to you, Debra and Thomas.
Thank you so much, Tonio, and thank you to everyone for joining. Today's session is all about what's new in Cosmos DB for you at every stage of the developer journey. We'll take you through what's new to help you get started, scale your app, and finally, go to production with our new enterprise-grade security features. Now, with any demo, it's always great to see it in the context of a real-world scenario. So today, let's imagine we're building an app. It's a payment processing app in the financial services industry, and users will use this app to make payments, do transactions, which will get written to and logged in Cosmos DB. As part of this app, we know we have a couple of requirements that we need to satisfy. First, we have very unpredictable traffic patterns. Sometimes when many users are making payments or doing transactions, we'll have very high traffic. And then in other times, but we're not quite sure when, we'll have very low traffic. So we need to handle both cases. In addition, because of the sensitive nature of the user's financial data, we know we have to comply with very strong security requirements. So let's see how Cosmos DB makes all of this possible. The first thing we need for any new Cosmos DB project is an account. And because we're starting from the beginning, we can take advantage of Azure Cosmos DB's free tier. With free tier, you get the first 400 RUs and 5 GB of storage for free for the entire lifetime of the account. And this makes it really easy to get started for basically free and paying nothing at all. And because it comes with all the benefits and features of a regular Cosmos DB account, we know we can start small now and scale up later once our app takes off. Next, we need a place to store our data. Azure Cosmos DB is a database, so let's get some data in our system. It also helps us, of course, bootstrap some data so we can start testing our application. In order to do this, we're going to use the new C# Notebooks feature now available in preview at build. C# Notebooks are completely free and directly integrated into the Azure portal and Cosmos DB Data Explorer to make it easy for you to work with your Cosmos DB data. You can do things like interactively run C#, work with your data in Cosmos DB, and query and visualize your data. Here, the first thing we'll do is create a new database and container to hold our data. We're using the built-in version of our .NET SDK, which makes it very easy to do so. Once I've created the container as well as the database, I can go to my resource tree and see that this collection or container was indeed created. Now that we have a place to store our data, we need to decide what our data looks like. Basically, we need to decide what our data model is. And since we're handling payment data, we know we're going to have information like the transaction type, the currency, the amount, and so on. Now that we've decided on the data format, we need to generate some data. Here, we'll use the open source .NET library called Bogus to help us easily generate a lot of data that looks like that format above. In order to bring in that package, we're using the hash-r NuGet syntax, which Cosmos DB Notebook supports because we know as a developer, it's very helpful for you to bring in any packages that you need to do your development and to write your notebook. Next, we have a helper method to generate some events or data that looks like that payment event type. And finally, we'll generate the data and write it to Cosmos DB. So again, this is using our built-in version of the .NET SDK to do so. And this is all going to happen in single-digit millisecond latency. And indeed, after I've written these items, I can go to my items view here and see that the format was indeed followed and written correctly to the database. In addition, we also make it very easy to query your data. It's great that we know we have, let's say, who knows how many items here, but it's great to help it's great if we want to actually see trends in data or overall what our data looks like. So again, here, we'll use the built-in version of the .NET SDK and run a very simple SQL query against our collection and just search for specific types of data that have a certain transaction type. Once I run this, I see we have this very helpful and handy data explorer. This is an Interact Data Explorer. So this is another open source project that we've incorporated into this environment here. And not only does it allow you to see data in a table format, it comes with a bunch of pre-built visualizations that you can use for further investigation. So here, let's say I want to group my data by transaction type. Let's give this a nice color. And now we can quickly see an overview and even interactively see our data and what the trends are across these different data types.
Hey, Deborah, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is really awesome. I mean, I love how these new C# notebooks let you explore and interact with your Cosmos DB data right from the browser and by writing C#, which is, as anyone knows, the best language out there. So it actually looks like a lot of fun, and you know, I want to have fun as well. So I was wondering, is there any way for us to kind of collaborate on those notebooks?
Yes, definitely. I'm so glad you brought that up because it's really great that I have this notebook, but I think it would be even better if I were able to share it with you and the broader community and even everyone watching here on the session. So with our new C# notebooks, we now have support for GitHub integration. With this GitHub integration, we make it very easy for you to link your notebook's workspace to your GitHub account. So I can do things like bring in my repo, select branches, let's bring in another branch, add, and I see that it shows up in this resource tree here. Now, Thomas, what I bet you didn't know was the whole time that I was showing these notebooks, I was actually running them from my GitHub account directly.
Okay.
Yeah, and because that these notebooks are connected to my GitHub account via this workspace, if I make any changes here, I can easily save them back to my repo. So, Thomas, let's make a change to this notebook and type in a message for our attendees. What do you want to say?
Well, let's just say hi.
Okay. All right. Let's select save. Okay. Type in a commit message. Save. I'll go to GitHub. By the way, this is the actual repo where the notebooks are stored. And if I go to the commit log, refresh, I should see that that commit that I made indeed got reflected in my commit log. So it was just a few clicks. I was able to make any changes to my notebook and save them immediately to my repository on GitHub.
OK, great. So now we have these new C# notebooks. We even have GitHub integration, which is outstanding. And by the way, how much do these Cosmos DB notebooks cost again?
Yeah, so I mentioned this earlier, but these notebooks are completely free.
Okay, just wanted to double check. So yeah, this is going to help us tremendously as we are building our new application. But next, there is one important requirement I would like us to think about, and that is scalability. Because you see, I'm very confident that this new application is going to be very successful, but it's kind of hard to predict from the beginning how much traffic we will get. And as we launch our app, we don't know how many users will start using the app. So I'm not really sure how we can do any kind of capacity planning. What do you think, Deborah?
Yeah, I think we are in kind of the same situation as a lot of our Cosmos DB customers, which is that, truthfully, it can be very hard to predict your traffic requirements up front. And even if you do have an idea of what the traffic is, there's going to be some times where there's high traffic, low, and it's hard to know when those times will be. The good news for us is we can take advantage of a new Cosmos DB feature, now GA here at Build, called Autoscale. With Autoscale, Cosmos DB automatically and instantly scales the RUs or throughput capacity of our database or container based on the usage. So as a user, all we have to do is set the highest RUs we ever want to scale to, and Cosmos DB will handle scaling the capacity between that and 10% of that value. This is really great for variable and unpredictable workloads that where we have a lot of consistent traffic, as we expect to do, and this is going to help us optimize costs a lot. Because the moment that Cosmos DB sees that there's no traffic against my database or container, it'll scale down to the minimum and will only pay for the minimum, which will help save us a lot of money. So let's go ahead and see Autoscale in action.
Oh, yes, please.
Right. Back here, I'm in my C# notebooks. And this time, we're going to use C# notebooks to do a simple benchmarking or load test using Autoscale. Now, the point of any benchmarking test is to see what throughput can I get. How many operations per second can I achieve? So let's set that up here. First thing we need, once again, is a database or container, and container. And we'll use our .NET SDK again, only this time we're going to provision our container with Autoscale throughput. So once I run this, we see I have my Autoscale container created here. And going to scale and settings, I see that it's indeed configured with Autoscale enabled. This container is configured to scale between 400 and 4,000 RUs based on the usage. And I can see also that I have two settings now for throughput. I have autoscale or manual. And new here at Build, based on one of our top customer asks, we've also given everyone the ability to enable autoscale on existing apps, so or workloads. So all you need to do is switch between manual autoscale or autoscale manual as you were, hit save, and that will be ready for you to use. Now back to this notebook. Now that we have the container, let's do some basic setup. First thing I have here is a helper method to print out the RUs usage. So every once in a while, it'll, every second precisely, tell us how many RUs we've used so far, as well as what the throughput, or in this case, writes per second, we're getting against the database. Then we have the helper method to insert the document. And finally, putting it all together, this is the fun part. Here's a demo where we actually show how CosmosDB autoscale is letting us use up to the maximum throughput that we've set. In this part of the demo, we'll simulate two different workloads or traffic patterns we expect to see against against CosmosDB. The first one is a very stable, boring, predictable traffic pattern where there's a lot of wait time between operations. So to simulate this, we'll say that there's 5 milliseconds between every operation. And once I run this to see the throughput I'm getting, we'll see that we're consuming around between 600 and 800 or 700 RUs per second, and our throughput is around 100 or 20 or so writes per second. So since we configured our container to scale between 400 and 4,000 RUs, we're really not even anywhere near the peak of what we provisioned. But let's say now we have a sudden spike in our application. Now there's essentially no delay time between any operation, so now we've got a lot of users on our site at once. If I run this benchmarking task again, I can see that CosmosDB is instantly letting me use more RUs up to what I provisioned, and I basically doubled my throughput, is able to handle doubling my throughput with no problem at all. Now, this was a pretty small benchmarking exercise with a very the container at the minimum out-of-scale entry points, but let's actually see this at scale. I have another container here, and this time I've provisioned it to scale between 5,000 and 50,000 RUs. So this is much closer, Thomas, I think, to what we'll actually see in our production traffic.
Absolutely.
And to really see what's going on here in this at scale, I have this console app running that I've been running for the past couple of hours, and it does the same thing I did in that notebook cell, just over longer periods of time. Every once in a while, it's just changing the time between operations to simulate a new pattern of traffic that we need to handle. And going to metrics here in Azure Monitor, I can see that no matter what throughput I'm using, whether it's the minimum or close to the maximum, CosmosDB autoscale is automatically and instantly scaling to handle the throughput needs of the application. So Thomas, what do you think? Should we use autoscale for our application?
What do I think? Of course we should use it. I mean, autoscale is just amazing. And by the way, wasn't autoscale one of the most requested features from our users?
Yes, it's been one of our top three user voice items for a while, past tense now. We actually closed it a few days ago. And I think at some point it had over 1,800 votes. So we're really excited to have heard all of your feedback and deliver this feature for you here at Build.
Right. I think what's even more exciting is that we are currently working on new features like, you know, partial document updates, Active Directory integration, that will let us deliver even more user voice items in the coming month. And, you know, I just can't wait to be there. Okay, so autoscale is definitely the perfect solution for us because it automatically adjusts to my application's needs while still delivering the same guarantees around throughput and latency and availability. So this is the right solution because as we launch our new application, we'll just have to let CosmosDB figure out the required throughput for us by autoscaling. And generally speaking, autoscale is really a great fit for any such situation where I need my guaranteed performance, I need my guaranteed throughput, but at the same time, my traffic isn't predictable enough for me to scale manually my throughput. Now, I can also think of other situations where I don't really need any throughput. For example, if I'm running development or testing activities, or even if I'm running a small kind of non-critical application, those are situations where I would expect my database to kind of sit idle most of the time and only have to process requests occasionally. And in these situations, you know, even autoscale could lead to some level of over-provisioning because basically what autoscale delivers is dynamic throughput capacity. And so it's to even better address this kind of use case that we are extremely excited to announce the upcoming preview of Azure Cosmos DB Serverless. Serverless on CosmosDB is going to be a pure consumption model, where you will only have to pay for the request units consumed by your database operations and for the storage consumed by your data. And because serverless is going to be a real pay-per-request billing model, it's going to lower even further the entry price for anyone who wants to start using CosmosDB or anyone who wants to run a small application with low traffic. It's going to be a great fit for those situations, for those kind of small to medium workloads that, again, don't require any actual throughput and just receive requests occasionally. Now, serverless on CosmosDB isn't quite ready for prime time yet, but the reason why we are announcing it today at Build is because we plan to launch this new billing model as a public preview in just a couple of months. So serverless is just around the corner. It's coming very, very soon. And until then, let's go back to that application that Deborah and I are working on. So what we have seen so far is that new features like the C# notebooks and the GitHub integration improve developer productivity for anyone who is starting to write an app on CosmosDB. We have also seen that the new auto-scale provision throughput offer makes it much more cost-effective to run an application at scale on CosmosDB because it automatically adjusts your provision throughput depending on your traffic and on your consumption. Now, the last thing we have to think about once we are ready to push our application to production is security, which is a topic that's very dear to my heart. And because we are going to create a new CosmosDB account to run our application in our production environment, we'll be able to leverage new security features that are now available on CosmosDB. The first one of these features is our brand new private link integration. Now, as a security best practice, what we are going to do is that we are going to run our application in a virtual network. And so we have to make sure that only resources running in this virtual network can access our CosmosDB account. And this is something you can achieve already today by using what's called service endpoints. But what we have to keep in mind is that service endpoints expose a CosmosDB account to a virtual network through the public IP address of this CosmosDB account. That means that in terms of security boundaries, my virtual network still needs to have some kind of access to the outside. So for situations where we want to make sure that resources in our VNet only have to access other local resources in the same VNet, those are situations where we can now leverage the new private endpoints. Because private endpoints, they do just that. They expose a CosmosDB account to a virtual network through IP addresses that are private to this virtual network, which helps a lot in reducing the risks of data exfiltration because, again, as I mentioned, resources running in my VNet don't need to have any kind of outside access once you use private endpoints. The second new security feature we are going to leverage for our production account is customer managed keys. And here we have to remember that this payment processing application we are building is targeting the financial services industry, which is, as you may know, pretty heavily regulated. And as part of the compliance requirements we'll have to make sure that every time CosmosDB writes data on disk, that data gets encrypted with encryption keys that customers can control. Now, encryption at rest is not a new feature. And for many years now, CosmosDB has been encrypted your data by default, but with what we call service managed keys, which are encryption keys transparently managed by Microsoft. What customer managed keys adds on top of that is a second layer of encryption. So what you essentially get is double encryption, which sometimes is also coming from the same compliance requirements. So essentially your data gets encrypted a second time with encryption keys that you store and manage from Azure Key Vault. I think what's great is that it's extremely easy to leverage those new security features every time you are creating a new CosmosDB account. And let me just show you what it looks like from the Azure portal. As a first step, I would go to my Azure Key Vault instance. This is the instance where I'm going to create the encryption key that I want to control, encryption at rest. So it's as easy as generating a new key. I'm just filling in the parameters I'm expecting for this key. And once the key is generated, it just takes a couple of seconds, I'm going to copy that key identifier. This is the identifier I'm going to pass to CosmosDB to control the encryption of my data. Next step is to actually create our new CosmosDB account. And this is where I'm going to activate private link by choosing private endpoint as the connectivity method. And on that same page, just scrolling down, I'm going to actually add a new private endpoint by registering the virtual network where my application will run. Last step is to activate customer managed keys. And again, this is as simple as flipping a switch and pasting that key identifier we have copied before from Azure Key Vault. So as you see, it's extremely easy to activate those new security features every time you're creating a new CosmosDB account from the Azure portal. But obviously, you can achieve the very same result whenever you are creating an account programmatically using Azure Resource Manager templates, the PowerShell, or the Azure CLI. So what we have seen in this session is a pretty nice set of new features that are available today. So those are real features you can start using today. We have seen how the new C# notebooks and their brand new GitHub integration improve developer productivity. We have also seen the auto-scale provision throughput offer that is now generally available, and that makes it much more cost-effective to run applications at scale on Cosmos DB. And we've also covered a couple of new security features, like the new private link integration that helps you improve your network security when you're using virtual networks, and also customer-managed keys that puts you in control of the encryption of your data whenever this is needed for compliance reasons. This is all the content we have for you today, but obviously we are very eager to take any of your questions. And while you write down your questions, I just wanted to remind you that Cosmos DB has a second session at Build this year. The session code is INT124, and that other session is all about creating hybrid HTAP solutions on top of Cosmos DB and Azure Synapse. You are more than welcome to follow us on Twitter at AzureCosmosDB, and also feel free to subscribe to our YouTube account because we plan to publish a lot of new videos in the coming weeks, and you certainly don't want to miss that.
Thank you, Deron Thomas. That was a great presentation, and I can't wait to start using these awesome features. Now, I do have a few questions from our audience.
Great.
The first ones are related to auto-scale, and the first one is, some guidance, right? When should I use auto-scale versus the traditional, the standard provision throughput?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So I think to look at this, what you really depends on your application and your expected traffic patterns. If you have a new application, it might actually be very great to start with auto-scale, just so you don't know what your traffic patterns are, and just start the minimum and let auto-scale scale up if needed. And then when you go to production, once you have a better sense of your traffic patterns, you can decide if it's very steady and very predictable. If most of the time you kind of stay at the same flat value, it probably makes a lot of sense to stay on standard or manual provision throughput. But if you have a graph like the one we saw here, where every once in a while just has ups and downs, and it's very hard to predict when those will be, we'd recommend using auto-scale for those cases.
Perfect. And the follow-up question is, can you change between or swap between auto-scale and standard throughput?
Yes. That was a top customer request from the preview, and we're very excited at the GA. All you need to do is go to the Azure portal, select between auto-scale or manual, select save, and once you do that, your container or database will be configured to start using the new mode.
That's awesome. Now, when using auto-scale, how quickly does it scale? Is there a lag on the scaling?
Yeah, it's a great question. So like I said earlier, it is automatic and instantaneous. And the way this is achieved is that when you set the max RUs, you kind of give a sense of what's the highest capacity you ever need. So Cosmos DB, behind the scenes, when you do that, will, in the beginning, can provision all the capacity you need so you can use up to the max RUs at any point. Behind the scenes, every 5 minutes, Cosmos DB reports out how many RUs the system actually scaled to. So if you do like taking a look at what the black box is doing, you can see that data via either Azure Monitor Metrics, which is what I showed in the demo, or the built-in metrics in the Azure portal itself.
Perfect. And the last auto-scale question, and I'm sure many developers are thrilled that we have a free tier now, but yes. Does auto-scale work with the free tier?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking that question. Auto-scale does work with free tier. When you combine them, you can basically get an auto-scale container. And if you set it at the minimum, which is the entry point 400 to 4,000 RUs per second, if you just actually stay at the minimum 400, it's covered by free tier. So it's only if you actually have a spike or scale up and actually, or the system scales up to use more due to incoming traffic, will you actually ever pay for those requests.
Okay, and we have some questions about the notebook feature. Do you know if this notebook feature will be available in the local emulator?
That's a great question. For right now, they are available in the just the Azure portal or our standalone cosmos.azure.com Data Explorer application. But if you do see a desire to use them in emulator, please upvote that on User Voice and send us that feedback.
Perfect. About encryption keys, can you apply your own encryption key to an existing account?
To an existing account, not yet. So this is something we are not supporting as we launched custom managed keys a couple of months back. So right now, the way you would use custom managed keys is by creating a new account. Supporting new accounts is something that's on our roadmap and that we are looking at for the second semester of this year.
Perfect. And I have a few questions about serverless. It looks like people are super excited about this new upcoming feature.
As I am.
Excellent.
I think we are.
Will Do you know if it will be available for all the Cosmos DB APIs?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, just like AutoScale is, right? This is something that kind of controls the way you consume your Cosmos DB resources. So this is kind of a fundamental thing that we are delivering, and this is going to be available with all APIs, which I think is a big deal, because this means that once serverless will be available on Cosmos DB, you will have a serverless, a pure consumption-based way of consuming our MongoDB API. You will have a serverless way of consuming our Cassandra API, which is pretty unique in our industry. So yeah, that just adds to the excitement, I guess.
Perfect, perfect. Any plans for offline sync?
Offline sync. That's a good question. Let me address that. Short answer is yes. The longer answer is that we are looking at different ways to actually address that. What we are looking at is actually ways to synchronize data between, some on-premise database and Cosmos DB. This is something that we have started to address with what's called the Cassandra Cluster Exchange. So we already have a way to kind of communicate with the edge by synchronizing Cassandra cluster that is running on-premise with Cosmos DB through that kind of link. So this is the way we are looking at, right? Because Cosmos DB is a multi-model, multi-API kind of database service. And so we are looking at ways of actually doing offline syncs with those other, compatible database products that are out there. So we have started to tackle that with Cassandra. We are still in the early stage, obviously, but we're looking at maybe doing something that's similar with MongoDB. And so, yeah, we'll go step by step, probably API by API, but this is definitely something we are working on.
Perfect, perfect, Thomas. There are some questions about the Cosmos DB emulator, and some developers wanted to know if it will be available on Linux or Mac. What are the options there?
Deborah, do we have any?
Oh, yeah, answer? Sure.
Yeah,
so thanks for asking that question. I think this is, right now, it's something that we have in development. We're thinking about how we can support that. Please continue to upvote that one on User Voice. We know it's definitely a top customer ask from many of you out there who would like to develop on other platforms. So we'll continue to work on that. And as our plans firm up, we'll keep you updated in that space.
And there are other ways to actually kind of work around the fact that today the emulator is not available on Linux, right? And I think the free tier is an obvious one. If you want to, do some development activities without spending anything, the free tier is obviously the way to go today.
Okay, perfect. And we have lots of questions here, but not enough time. The last one I have is about private link. What is the guidance there? When should I use a private link?
Yeah, I like these questions because usually we present those different features, but then our users are like, yeah, but should I use it? Right? What's the use case for me? I think what's important to understand is that the main scenario, the main security threat that Private Link is addressing is a data exfiltration, right? Because for some customers, there is that concern that their own users could actually exfiltrate data from their systems to some external systems, right? So what we want to restrict is the ability to actually connect to something that is outside of whatever the security boundaries we have defined. And so this is definitely the kind of scenario that private endpoint addresses, because once you have put your Cosmos DB account behind the private endpoint, then you can close all the doors, right? And you can make sure that in terms of network isolation, your virtual network doesn't need any kind of access to the outside and to the internet. So this is probably one of the main scenarios for private link.
Okay, and that was the last question. I want to thank you all for attending this session, and I hope you enjoyed the rest of the conference. Over to you, Deb and Thomas.
Just wanted to thank all the attendees. It's great to have that first build session remotely, and I think it went so well. And I just wanted to thank you again and to wish you a very good end of conference.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks.